in the name of Christ. As elegantly and as poetically as Paul waxes regularly about love, about baptism, about life in Christ, about the body of Christ, he can, as we just heard, speak some pretty direct and earthy language as well. And in the odd chance that God is speaking through Paul, let's tune in again. Bite and devour one another. Fornication, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, drunkenness, carousing, conceit, envying one another, competing with one another. It's the law of the jungle, isn't it? It's the stuff that sets headlines in newspapers and on television. What takes a person back, however, is the realization that Paul is not addressing the jungle. He is not shouting at the depraved in their gangs or in their prisons. He's speaking his word to Christians, to the church, actually to the churches of Galatia. That's to say, there's more than one like this out there. And the thing is that we see enough similarities in the Corinthian correspondence, in the introductory chapter of Paul's tome to the Romans, to know that things weren't appreciably better probably anywhere else. How good it would be if, as we move towards synodical convention, we could say, Lord, we thank thee that we are not as these other folk out there, bite and devour one another, enmity, strife, jealous, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, conceited, envying one another, competing against one another. And that doesn't even touch matters like fornication and impurity and licentiousness and drunkenness and carousing, the stuff that makes a district president's job full-time and then some. What's wrong with us? Us. What's wrong with our church? What's wrong with all of the churches out there? Somehow, Paul says we got our circuitry all tangled up, and his words about freedom easily and quickly deteriorate into a fixation on license. Close, not the same thing. You are called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Just don't use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence. Through love, become slaves to one another. It's not just here that Paul talks like that. He says elsewhere that we who have been given the riches of the gospel, we are in debt. We are indebted to everybody else out there, not just the folks who brought us to the gospel, but the folks who don't have the gospel, whether they never heard it or whether they are those distracted and enamored of themselves. Even those, or maybe especially those in the church, because those are the ones Paul is talking to. Those who operate the church or a congregation or an agency by jungle rules. Freedom, whole different ballgame. Freedom is the issue. For freedom, Paul says, Christ has set us free. Do not let yourself be sucked into. Do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. In his death, Christ has freed us from evil, from ourselves, from the burden, self-imposed, self-defined burden of mustering ourselves into something we figure ought to impress the father, and if maybe not the father, at least the brother or the sister, and if all else fails, we impress ourselves. That's slavery. We are who we are in Christ, not in ourselves. We are who we are in Christ, free from the burden of having to make ourselves what we would like to be, which all too often comes at the expense of everybody else out there. In Christ, we who have known love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, are free to live the life of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, love, self-control. And the point is not that that other stuff is so grossly sinful, it is just out and out unfaith. It's coming down on the wrong side of clinging to ourselves, which never allows us out from under, rather than clinging to the Lord who alone frees us from the life of the jungle. My wife, not here now, which makes her fair game, right? Not. But I'm going to talk about her anyhow. My wife has taken on a new identity this past year. She's a cancer survivor. The dues a person pays for that identity are frightful, and they're tough, and they're threatening. Ugly bouts of chemo, radiation, thoughts that invade the heart and put the word death in the same sentence as your own name, fishing around for a timetable, wrestling with God about what's fair, what's not fair. Thankfully, she's been through her therapy. Thankfully, she's been through also enough post-therapy exams that she can say provisionally, but no less thankfully, that she is free. Free. Free from cancer. Now, that does not mean she's invulnerable. Does not mean she's impervious. Does not mean she's free from regular ongoing checkups for just the same thing. Does not mean she's free to get on a plane, a 15-hour plane ride to Asia, cooped up for all of that time with who knows what kind of germs out there. Doesn't mean she's free to use the arm that the lymph nodes were taken out of with the same casual way that she can use her other arm. But she's free, she is free to look at another person walking the same road and to help guide them through the valley of the shadow. She's free. Free to look through and to look beyond even death itself. To the Lord who gives a life that not even cancer, ugly, rotten cancer, can cheapen or shrivel or destroy. In Christ, you are free, forgiven, redeemed, born again through water and word and spirit, free from the laws of the jungle, free, however, to live salvifically in the jungle, even the jungle in the church. You are Christ's. You are free. In his name, amen.